Skagway Port Commissioners favor a dual-purpose floating dock despite time constraints. And an update on area fisheries. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. A 100-year-old Chilkat robe has come home to Southeast Alaska. A Seattle couple originally purchased the robe in 1995. Upon realizing its significance, they began reaching out to experts about its origins. Chuck Smythe directs the Culture and History Department at Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. He says bringing home sacred objects like the robe is extremely valuable.
Particularly items like a nahane, a Chilkat robe, because they were rare and they were made by only very wealthy families, clans, and designate usually clan history.
The robe is considered to be Atu, or a sacred clan object or treasure. Sea Alaska Heritage is celebrating the robe's return in a homecoming celebration in Juneau. It begins at 1:30 p.m. Saturday at the Walter Soboloff Building. Sea Alaska Heritage also plans to stream video of the celebration on Facebook Live. Perhaps the most pressing piece of infrastructure Skagway leaders believe they need is a new floating dock. It would enable the city to accommodate bigger cruise ships expected to sail the Inside Passage in 2019. Because the timeline is so tight, there's some question about whether the city should build a dock suited solely for cruise ships or one that could be used for industrial business as well. The Port Commission was tasked with outlining a request for proposals that would get the ball rolling on design work for the crucial floating dock.
I mean, we could keep it simple.
Tim Borsey is the Port Commission chair.
Obviously, the primary goal is to have a floating facility that is appropriate for the cruise business.
The commission talked about how keeping the project streamlined to just a cruise dock might expedite design and engineering work. But they and other city leaders are interested in making the project dual purpose, meaning building a more robust dock that could handle industrial shipments. The commission considered including both options in the request for proposals, but that would put more work on interested bidders. Sean McFarland's employer, Moffitt & Nickel, is one of them. He said that might slow down a process that is already cutting it close.
I think you've run out of time.
Moffitt & Nickel has been working with the city on short-term port planning for several months. The consultant said to get the floating dock in place by 2019, design work should start this fall. Essentially, it would be best if the city got to work yesterday.
I think that you're probably already on a timeline by going through the RFP where you're not going to get it started until after Christmas already. And then to insert or to integrate another piece of what is ostensibly planning work, it's pre-design of choosing alternatives into the process, that's probably another 5 to 6 week effort, in which case you're probably not getting into design until March.
The commission wondered whether trying to build the dock for industrial use was asking too much within the limited time frame. But Borsey said these short-term projects sometimes end up being in place for decades.
And so I would lean more towards building it to the higher standard and go that route, you know, and then at least we have something that has additional potential to either move within the port or be more multi-purpose.
The commission voted to recommend the assembly put out an RFP for a dual-purpose floating dock. The plan favored by port consultants would place the new facility on the south end of the existing ore dock. But there are still a lot of questions. The city needs permission from White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad to build the dock. White Pass holds a lease for the area until 2023. The company asked for a new 15-year lease in order to cooperate on the facility. The city is in negotiations on that contract, which will be subject to a public vote. And then there's the question of what the cruise schedule for Skagway will even look like in a few years. Port Commissioner Steve Heitz is frustrated at the city's inability to access ship schedules for 2020.
And we are sitting here attempting to make decisions that cost the community tens of millions of dollars, and we don't have access to that.
But McFarlane, the port consultant, said other Southeast ports are in the same boat. He said cruise lines don't tend to release schedules more than one season in advance. If lease negotiations with White Pass work out, the two parties plan to split the cost of the floating dock. According to expert estimates, it will cost at least $14.5 million. There was some good news for sockeye near Haines this week. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game met its minimum escapement goal on the Chilkoot River, but the catch for the commercial fleet remains low. KHNS's Abby Collins spoke with fish and game biologist Mark Soggy about the latest harvest numbers, the low number of commercial boats on the water, and the arrival of fall chum in the Northern Lynn Canal.
It still looks pretty poor just looking at these numbers.
Yeah, the harvest of sockeye in terms of gross numbers went down, but effort dropped out to about half the boats the previous week, and so the catch per vessel actually went up last week it was, what was it, about 15, this week about 32, so that's per day per boat. So that's an improvement. It's still not good fishing, but, pretty dismal fishing.
There's only 25 boats out this past week in this district. Is that pretty average for this time of year?
No. That's low. The average is more like 66. And I'm not that confident on that number. It was really foggy out there. And we didn't, I had sent a crew out, but they tried to see everybody, but I'm not sure. But it was very little effort that we saw.
You were implementing some different management strategies in this past opener. I remember when we talked last week to try to help the sockeye come through?
A little bit. I started out with only one day in 15C just because I was being a little cautious down there. But when I saw how few boats were around, it didn't seem any reason not to fish another day there. And there wasn't much coming through. And that was, for me, the indicator, that it's like, well, you're not going to do that much damage if there's not that much coming, really. And so I was hoping for, some indication there was a good shot of fish. But Chilkat sockeye are really hard to catch. There's a few places where we know we can have a greater chance of catching them, and that's like Mud Bay and St. Mary Shoreline. And those areas, neither of those areas were open last week. So.
And there was some good news for sockeye in terms of escapement.
Yeah, we did get the escapement goal, which it's still the minimum goal, but we crossed that boundary, which is good. Just my personal feeling is that a higher number is better for that lake. It can support and produce better if you meet the mid part of the goal. But we're at 39,000, and they're just a few hundred fish coming across now, not very many per day. At Chilkat Lake, we're at 50,000, just crossed 50,000, and that's projecting a final escapement of based on averages of about 125,000. So that's a good number too. The early indications for the chum is that they're around. They're both in the fishery in small numbers and in the fish wheels in small numbers, which is what you would expect now. They're both of them about average or a little bit above for, believe it or not, for chum catch. And so, we don't know what's coming. We're seeing some chums harvested down below. Excursion Inlet, the river there, produced a good number of fish for the seiners, and then we've seen some chum caught along the Hawk Inlet shoreline. I don't know for sure if those are Chilkat chum or not, but they might be. And if that's the indication, then maybe we'll be all right for a fall run here.
I have heard that there was a good number of pinks out there.
In the fish wheels?
In the river.
In Chilkoot, there's a good number. Yeah, I think we've had like 50,000 or so across the weir. I don't know that number, but somewhere around there. And there's lots swimming around in the inlet. And I don't know if you saw the next opening is I opened up from the White Rock down up in Lutac. And it's because I drove out there and there were still a lot of humpies swimming around below that line. And I think most of the sockeye are gone. So I'm giving the fleet a chance to go get them if they're still, of saleable quality anyway, or they make good bait, but yeah.
Is there anything else we need to talk about today that I've missed?
I gave a very extensive opening this week. It's a 3-day opening. Everything opened south of Glacier Point and on the Chilkat side and south of the White Rock line, and that includes Mud Bay, and all of 15C is also open for 3 days. And the reason I'm doing that is to see if there's any sockeye left around. First of all, if people are still focusing on that, but also to give us a really good indication of what's coming in the way of chum and coho strength. Right now, the coho have yet to show up in Lynn Canal, which isn't unusual, but we are behind on where we should be in terms of harvest and escapement for coho. You know, the indications in the troll fishery there were a lot of fish coming in.
That was Fish and Game's Mark Soggy talking with Abby Collins. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.